Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Draft Digest Weekly here on September 16th, a Thursday, 5 p.m., doing it live here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining in. For those of you in the chat room, we got a great show lined up. If you want to get in on the action, 347-945-6275. I'm your host, Rick Saratella. Going to be joined by Daniel Moglione in a second, my co-host. But we got a lot in store. Terrell Pryor, is he talking his way into the draft conversation with his performance early on? Christian Ponder, was he the overhyped quarterback coming into the season that everybody was high on? And Greg Romeus, the stud defensive end from Pittsburgh, has an injury. We'll talk about how that impacts his draft status in a second. But first, I want to welcome in Mr. College Football Insider himself, Daniel Moglione.
What's up, Rick? How's it going? Another week of college football. Can't wait, man. The games are about to start in a couple hours.
And, of course, we just wrapped up another edition of the College Football Insider's newsletter. You can sign up on NFLDraftBible.com, go all-access membership, 18 issues of College Football Insiders. It's not too late. Like I said, this week, issue number 3, we got 15 big jam-packed issues coming at you. Dan, why don't you highlight what's in this week's edition?
Well, in this week's edition, we have a player spotlight on left tackle Jason Pinkston out of Pittsburgh. He's been doing it both ways there, a younger brother of Todd Pinkston, former NFL player, a.k.a. Alligator Arms, as I like to call him. Also, we have a Q&A with Nick Farley, a defensive tackle out of Auburn. So even though it's a college football newsletter, Rick, you know, we feature a lot of NFL prospects in the edition as well, so you get to learn a little bit about these guys during the season. And, of course, we're previewing a big game this week that's on ABC, 8 o'clock prime time, Texas at Texas Tech. Mack Brown taking his Longhorns there, top five team into Lubbock, where he is only 3-3 as a head coach of Texas there, only 3-3 in Lubbock. And we remember what happened last time. Mr. Crabtree made a big name for himself, scoring that touchdown with a few seconds left that really knocked Texas out of the national championship game. So I think that should be definitely one to watch, and that's the game of the week that we're featuring in the issue.
Yeah, the Diva got him last year down there. And, you know, like I said, we're going to be talking about the NFL Hot Topics. NFLDraftBible.com presents Draft Digest Weekly. And you can get that College Football Insider's newsletter and our 2011 NFL Draft Prospectus, which is about 45 to 50 pages of information on NFL Draft prospects. Log on to NFLDraftBible.com. Go all access. And, Dan, I want to talk about the Kansas State running back Daniel Thomas we discussed last week. I know he's your guy. Big week. Stock rising already. Talk about it.
Yeah, I'm really happy with this kid and what he's been doing so far this season. He's having a heck of a year, and I think his stock is rising. I mean, both him and Murray had big week ones. Murray, I think, took a little step back in terms of his running ability. So I think out of the seniors, I mean, as we've talked about the underclassmen guys, whether it's Ryan Williams or Ingram, and I'm sure we're going to talk about those guys later in the show. But in terms of the senior prospects, I still think Daniel Thomas is the number one guy at running back. And if any of these seniors are going to sneak into the first round, he's going to be the guy. I think at worst, he's a second-round pick. He's a former. Don't forget, too, you know, he played quarterback at junior college. So this is still his second full season at the college level playing running back. So I think the best still might be to come with this kid.
You know, you mentioned we're going to talk about later in the show, Mark Ingram, Ryan Williams, and, you know, we're going to save that too for our roundtable segment coming up later in the show with Justin Van Fulpen and Felon Sykes. But, you know, let's talk about Mark Ingram's counterpart for a second, because we talked about Trent Richardson last week briefly as well. A lot of people thought this young kid was maybe better than Mark Ingram. I mean, the kid everybody thinks to see me has the goods. And then last week, not so impressive performance. I think he had something like 19 carries, 52 yards. Are we looking too much into it here? Or maybe he's not going to fulfill all the hype that everybody is building him up to be.
Oh, we're talking about Trent Richardson now?
Correct.
Yeah, no, he had a pretty good game. He actually had 130-something yards against Penn State, and he's broke a streak that they had. They had a 17-game streak with holding a running back under 100 yards. He almost did it in the first half. So I think, you know, Richardson definitely is the real deal. It's funny you lead me in this direction because I just finally got to post my scouts notebook on Alabama, and boy, was I impressed with, you know, their roster top to bottom on both sides of the ball. But Richardson is, Rick, I mean, this kid's an impressive back, and as I said in the piece, I mean, you could be a blind man, you would know Richardson is running with the football because you would just hear the pop, pop, pop as he hits the pile. He's a downhill runner. He's got some breakaway speed as well. And what I'm starting to see from him, a little more vision, a little more patience, something we didn't see a lot last year. So I think, you know, even though it's a two-game thing, I think this two-game tryout with him kind of being the lone guy, the feature guy, is going to be good for him down the road.
Okay, so I'm going to have to log on and read that scout's notebook. That's a new feature here at the NFLDraftBible.com. We're actually breaking down game-by-game reports for you to log on, read up on some scouting, player profile reports on individual game performances. So we'll be doing that throughout the week. We'll have that each and every week covered and locked for you. Once again, NFL Draft Bible, Draft Digest Weekly. Rick Saratella here, Daniel Moglione there. We'll be going NFL Draft Digest Roundtable coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Sticking on the offensive theme, Dan, Ryan Mallett, you know, another one of these very hyped-up quarterbacks coming into the season. A lot of people think this week will be his first true test.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, they've had a cream puff schedule the first couple of weeks, so this is our first chance to see him go against a, you know, SEC-caliber defense, and it'll be interesting to see how he fares. I mean, last week, speaking of those notebooks, Georgia was one of those teams I focused on, and their run defense was not that impressive, but they did look pretty decent in pass coverage. So they have a corner, Boykin, that's pretty good in South Carolina, and Steven Garcia seemed to stay away from him. And they're also bringing on a pass rush with their new 3-4 defense. It'll be interesting to see how Mallett goes up. I still think he's got the edge over this Georgia team, but he's going between the hedges on the road. By far, his biggest test so far. And it'll be a nice little appetizer, a nice little warm-up for him, because next week at home, he's taking on Alabama's defense. So these next 2 weeks will be a nice test for Mallett and a chance for him to maybe get a little separation from that little clutter that we have among those junior-senior quarterbacks.
Yeah, and also, too, I would think if he can help bump Arkansas up in those rankings, maybe gain her a little more attention. Scouts tend to take notice a little bit more then, and, you know, the higher Arkansas climbs in those polls, the more people are going to be taking note. And just from a personal opinion, you know, we get all these varying reports about Ryan Mallett's height and all the jokes about the next Dan McGuire and all that stuff. But, you know, let me just ask you from a personal preference, what's your take on the kid?
Well, I think he definitely has the NFL talent. I mean, I remember him as a raw true freshman at Michigan when their quarterback got, when Chad Henne got hurt a couple years ago, and just his size and his arm strength, he looked like a potential NFL prospect. And he's the guy that I go back and forth on, Rick, honestly. I mean, we do this every year, right? When we talk about quarterbacks, you see something you love and you see something you don't like on these guys. The arm is there, and you mentioned the height. It's something, you know, when we had a couple of our guys, Ben and Ralph, they wrote about Mallett in the summer entering the season, and that's something that came up in the conference call with the media. You know, his height, is he too big? It sounds almost crazy and weird, but, you know, it makes you wonder about the mechanics. Can he move around in the pocket? Does he take too many big hits? Is he too big of a target? Those are the concerns there. He's not a great athlete, but I think for his size, he does move well. I think the key for him is going to be the decision-making. How does he fare when he's under pressure? Did the times last year, when he was pressured, he didn't always make the right call, and sometimes he would have been better served throwing the ball away. Now, I know when you're a kid and you got that kind of powerful arm, boy, if I had that kind of arm, I'd want to throw the ball too. But he's got to sometimes make smarter decisions, and that's something that I'm looking forward to see. How does he handle this week, and more importantly, how does he handle Nick Saban defense? Does he get confused, or does he make the proper read? But make no mistake, I mean, he's in the conversation, and he could very well be the number one pick should he decide to declare at the end of the year.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, he started his career up at Michigan before transferring to Arkansas, and that's because none other than Rich Rod came in and installed this, you know, crazy type of option offense that he runs, and it took him a while to find a quarterback, but looks like he's got his man, Bernard Robinson, a.k.a. Shoelaces. And the reason why I want to bring him up, you know, it was interesting to hear. I heard earlier today on ESPN, you know, they were already talking about how his talents translate to the NFL level. And I know we had a conversation after his first game about, you know, he operates, you know, a lot out of the shotgun and, you know, how that translates to the NFL, which is something that we're seeing more and more of in the NFL nowadays. And I know it's a little bit early, but let's talk a little bit. Let's spend a moment or two here to talk about how Denard Robinson's skills do translate over to the NFL, because I would think at this point, you know, he has to be the clear-cut runaway in the Heisman race.
Oh, yeah. If it was a two-week season and we did a vote now, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who is a better candidate than Shoelace Robinson there. Maybe Mallett's problem with Rich Rod was he ties a shoelace too tight. I don't know. Maybe that's why he didn't want him there. But, you know, in terms of Robinson's pro potential, I still think we're a little bit ways away. You know, he's a true junior. He played last season as a redshirt freshman. But, you know, he's a tremendous, tremendous athlete. And as you mentioned, with the Wildcat in the NFL, that trend continues to grow over the next year or two. Obviously, that's something that's going to help his value. Is he going to be really an NFL quarterback? We'll see. I mean, I never thought we would see him make the passes he did last week against Notre Dame at the end of the game, converting a key third down in the red zone to get Michigan in position to score a touchdown. I mean, when you saw him play last year as a quarterback, he looked raw could be. I mean, I've seen running backs and wide receivers throw the ball better than he did last year. So if he can continue to make these kind of strides, who knows? But I think there's also the possibility, could he play another position? Could he pull a Michael Robinson out of Penn State and move into the backfield at 6 feet, around 200 pounds? He is built like a running back, and he's got amazing, amazing speed. And we'll see how many, you know, carries he gets this season. But so far, he looks like he could handle the wear and tear. He's definitely a playmaker, and you'd like to think that there has to be a place for him somewhere in the NFL.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here and say this. You know, what if, considering Pat White fizzled out, same type of player, same system, same coach, you know, the Dolphins used a second-round pick, parted ways with them already after a season or two. Do you think that will actually come back to haunt Denard Robinson when he is draft eligible? Do you think that hurts his draft stock at all?
It could. It definitely won't help, that's for sure. I mean, we know NFL teams look at these types of trends, and it definitely affects a player's stock moving forward, you know, what a person did in your spot earlier. So that's definitely going to hurt him. I think also, you know, there's a couple other factors there. One is Robinson is bigger. He's bigger, thicker, heavier, stronger than Pat White is. So if there's a position move, that's a possibility. And the other thing with Robinson that we don't know yet is he going to be amenable to a potential position move if he doesn't develop more as a passer? As we know, Pat White was so adamant that he is a quarterback. That's the only position he's going to play. You know, we thought we were going to see him run some routes at the Senior Bowl. That never happened. So I think he really penciled himself into, you know, he really boxed himself into that spot of, this is all I'm going to be. And that's why I thought, you know, that was such a waste of a pick by Miami. You're not going to draft a guy in the second round as a Wildcat guy. So I think, you know, with Robinson, again, it depends if he develops as a quarterback or is he just an athlete. I think that's going to affect his draft stock for sure. I don't think you're going to see another team waste a second-round pick in the near future on a player projected mostly as a Wildcat-type player.
Daniel Moglione there, Rick Saratella here, talking NFL Draft Digest Weekly here on Blog Talk Radio. Dan, another one of these shotgun quarterbacks, but a little bit of a different breed, is Auburn quarterback Cameron Newton. And, you know, he's kind of a freakish athlete, very tall quarterback. And, you know, he's one of these JUCO college transfers, one of these junior college transfers that's making a lot of noise early on, turning some heads. You know, how do his skills translate to the NFL?
Well, he's somebody that me and you spoke about, right? And I think both of us thought the same thing. Wow, he kind of looks a little like Tim Tebow, the way he plays, except even a little bigger. Because he's not just an athlete, he's 250 pounds, 6 feet 5 inches, 6 feet 6 inches, and he'll take the ball up the middle like a fullback almost and run people over. I mean, he picked up several first downs last week against Mississippi State, and, you know, when I spoke to Nick Farley, I had to bring up Cameron Newton because of his freakish skills. Even in the SEC, he kind of stands out, and, you know, Farley talked about how he believes that just going up against him in practice helps, and how the defense just wants to get the ball back to the offense so they can watch this kid play. Now, you know, from what we saw last week, physical tools, very impressive, big arm, athletic ability. But, you know, as a passer, there's still, you know, there's a lot there left to be desired. You know, when he was able to throw in rhythm and had his man open, he made a couple impressive throws. You can see the arm strength. But he also made a couple of very shaky passes, including an interception into the end zone where it seemed like he just didn't have a feel for the defense, you know, where he looked like, well, my man beat the corner, but, you know, he never saw the safety help coming, and he throws a pass into triple coverage, basically, that gets intercepted. That's a big no-no. So, as you mentioned, you know, this is just the start of his career. He originally was at Florida where he did back up Tebow, ended up going to junior college. Big game for him this week against Clemson. Clemson has a couple of good pass rushes and some good safety, so I'm very interested to see how he fares this week. But, you know, I hate to keep going in this direction, but it's a kind of a wait-and-see game with these guys. A lot of talent, very raw. Let's see how they develop as the season goes on.
Okay, sticking with on the other side of the spectrum, very polished is Greg Romeus, the Pittsburgh Panther defensive end, some Big East football talk. We know about the injury this week. Looks like he's going to miss about four games or so. How does this impact his draft stock moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of hurt his draft stock somewhat. Lower disc injury in his back that requires surgery. You know, that's something that you hear about even outside of sports, how once you have that one kind of big back injury that requires surgery, it's something that you may never get over and always be affected by. And we've seen numerous athletes in all sports, let alone of, you know, the sport of football where you're on the line of scrimmage and taking that kind of pounding. To me, it's got to be some concerns in terms of his durability. And we already saw how it affected him. I mean, he was the guy that I was one of the players that I was most disappointed with in week one, where he looked like he had no explosive ability, no burst on the outside, no power when he tried to bull rush. And, you know, we knew there was some lingering issues. We didn't know how bad it was. So apparently it was bad enough where they needed to go under and have the surgery and correct it now during the season, even though Pitt's got some big games coming up. It's a big loss for them. And I think it's got to be a major red flag in terms of the scouts and the medical reports. Obviously, the sooner he comes back, he gets to prove himself. He'll have a chance at the Combine and the Senior Bowl to prove he's healthy. But until he does, I think it's got to be a stock down for him in terms of his play and the injury.
Yeah, and speaking of the Senior Bowl and the postseason, the NFL draft preseason is, you know, the news this week, South Carolina officially dismissing tight end Wesley Saunders from the team. You know, somebody that we had as one of our top tight end prospects entering the season, but, you know, character issues, this is not the first time that we've heard this from him.
No, it's not. So it's definitely something that just adds on to that, you know, red flag, especially obviously different teams put more emphasis on the character issue. But, you know, since Goodell's been in, this has become a bigger deal, and I think it's affected the draft stock more than we've ever seen before, particularly for a guy like him who's not a surefire first-round guy. I mean, if you're that talented, we know the more talented you are, the more leeway you get to make mistakes off the field. But when you're, even if you're a second, third round guy, which is kind of where I see Saunders, I think it definitely has a chance to hurt his stock, and teams are going to take a closer look when they decide to draft him. And on the field, it's a big loss. It's a wasted year for him. I mean, the one thing that really baffles me with a couple of these kids like him and Austin, you came back for your senior year and then you're going to put it in jeopardy. I mean, if you didn't care that much, if you just wanted to be reckless and do what you wanted to do, you would have been better off just declaring for the draft last year and maybe going a round or two lower. But if you made that commitment to come back to improve your stock, to improve your grade, to improve that first NFL paycheck, then, you know, don't you realize what's at stake? And it's got to put into question the maturity there.
Yeah, Wesley Saunders now, you know, the NFL postseason or college football postseason is going to be a big deal now for him and his draft stock, whether or not he gets an invite to one of the college football all-star games. The NFL scouting combine now 6 months away. He's going to have to find a way to stay in shape, stay active, and keep his draft stock up. Okay, coming up at 5:25, we're going to go NFL draft roundtable. Before we do, we're going to welcome in NFL draft guru, Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible. How are you today, Justin? Okay, let's try this again. NFL Draft Bible guru, Justin Van Fulpen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Justin? How's it going?
Good.
So, you know, we were talking a lot about quarterbacks so far earlier in this show. And Justin, let me ask you about one of the top seniors heading into the season, Christian Ponder, who actually had the same grade given to him by the National and an A grade, same grade as Jake Locker, I should say, given to by the National among senior quarterbacks. After his shaky performance against Oklahoma, Justin, do you see him being as an overhyped player, or is it too early to judge on that?
Well, I think it's too early to judge upon as far as Christian Ponder. I think, you know, he's still in that first round, you know, discussion of quarterbacks because you look at what he has. He's got a strong enough arm to make all the NFL throws. He's an athletic kid who can you know, as make plays outside the pocket. He shows good athletic ability as far as when he's outside the run and to be able to make those throws downfield. Now, he does have room to improve when it comes to his decision-making, and I think the other standpoint is, hey, he needs to get a little bit of balance when he's throwing the football, and I think that's going to be, make him more accurate. He did have a bad game against Oklahoma, made some bad reads, forced some balls that caused a couple interceptions that he had last Saturday.
Yeah, he concerned me a little bit with the way he handled the pressure there, but he did play against a better team. And another quarterback who was up against a better team was Nathan Enderle, the quarterback out of Idaho, a Nebraska native, taking on a tough black shirts defense from the Nebraska. And I'll ask you the same thing. You know, he's one of those BCS buster type players, not at the big schools, that had some hype, that had some momentum heading into the season. Was he a little too overhyped heading into the year?
Now, him, I think we could probably make that case. Probably he was a little bit overhyped, a little bit more as far as question him, you know, coming in, the grade that he had from NFL scouts. Maybe that was a little too high for him. We saw him kind of being overwhelmed by that Nebraska defense. He threw five interceptions and kind of showed, you know, as far as trying to force the ball. And you know, yeah, he doesn't have the greatest of talent around him like a Christian Ponder from Florida State, but he has got enough talent as far as that wide receiver position that he should have had a better performance last Saturday. So he's a guy who kind of, I think, his performance against Nebraska, you know, slipped compared to where Ponder's, where it kind of was, hey, he had a bad game, we'll see what he does, you know, these next down the road when he plays Florida and ACC, Miami, and the other teams there he has in his conference.
Oh, yeah, he has a couple of big games coming up as well. Justin, week two of college football, impressive. But the games, who were your risers from last week?
Well, I think, you know, as far as Cameron Jordan there from, you know, Cal, I mean, a guy who went against offensive tackle and Nate Salzer and really kind of dominated there, had two tackles for loss, a sack, five tackles, and really, you know, showed the ability, you know, for in a 3-4 defense that he can be a defensive end there. We see a lot of NFL teams going to that defense. We saw Tyson Alualu get drafted 10th overall last year. Not saying that Jordan will be to that type of level, but he really helped his stock. And another guy who, you know, we had the debate last week about, hey, Daniel Thomas, the Kansas State running back, against DeMarco Murray. And I'm going on your side, Dan, as far as I really like what Daniel Thomas has done as far as in the first couple of weeks. Now, we'll see in 3 weeks when he plays against Nebraska, but he's a guy to me who some NFL scouts had him as a undrafted rookie free agent. And I think that's a guy who's kind of rising up on my board as well as other players' boards as well.
All aboard the Daniel Thomas bandwagon. I left a couple of seats for you and Kelleron, too, if he wants to jump on, Justin.
Hey, you brought him to the other side there, Dan.
and I got to throw this out there. I don't know if he's listening, but I know our editor, Ross Mandel, a Colorado alum, he would probably say Colorado is going to make a lot of guys look like risers when they play head-to-head, as Cameron Jordan did last week against the Buffaloes. And on the flip side, Justin, give me two or three guys that were sliders last week that kind of disappointed you in their play.
Well, I think as far as going back to that game and going back to Colorado, as far as the guy we talked about earlier, Nate Solder from, you know, Colorado, a big offensive tackle who a lot of scouts talked to me and saying, hey, this guy could be that sleeper, could be a guy who could be a first-round offensive tackle because of his athletic ability to be able to move, be able as far as his kick we're talking about as far as getting out there and pass pro, but, you know, allowed a couple of sacks, was beat for, you know, beat there on the blitz, you know, had a holding call, and he really didn't play up to his performance. He's a guy, to me, who really hurt his stock. And then another guy, as far as maybe not necessarily how to play, but Greg Romulus from, you know, Pitt, as far as a back problem, going to have back surgery, might miss the whole season, and that really hurts as a guy who could have came out last year and could have been a first-round pick or is in that type of mix there with his defensive end and his ability. But like you were talking about, you know, guys earlier like Wesley Saunders and, you know, as far as Marvin Austin, hey, he could have been definitely a guy who could have went out as far as this last year, but decided to come back for his senior season, and unfortunately will be missing a number, you know, number of games upcoming because of that back problem.
Definitely. A lot of these borderline guys that, you know, came back for the senior years have not helped themselves so far. Justin, looking forward to this week, big SEC clash, Arkansas at Georgia. Me and Rick were talking a little bit about it earlier, Ryan Mallett's first big test. Who are some guys to watch in this game?
Well, I think you start right there with that quarterback, Ryan Mallett. I mean, he's a guy, to me, who could be really charging for that number one overall pick, you know, over probably Jake Locker, like you had mentioned. But another guy I think you got to watch out there for the NFL draft, you know, is their tight end. That's DJ Williams, a guy who, to me, could really kind of come up this draft board. There's not a ton of talented tight ends here in this class, probably besides, you know, junior Kyle Randolph there at Notre Dame. But DJ Williams is a guy to watch, and he could have a big game as far as against Georgia, kind of going up the seam. They kind of like to slot him out. They like to move him. He's a good athlete. He's a guy definitely to watch in that game as far as NFL draft fans.
All right, Justin, before we wrap up and head to the roundtable, give me a sleeper that stood out to you or somebody to watch this week that maybe isn't on the tips of everybody's tongues, but an under-the-radar guy you think isn't getting enough love.
Well, as far as the running back position, let's go back there. Let's go to Kendall Hunter from Oklahoma State. I mean, 414 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks. He kind of was nicked up as a junior, but a guy who is maybe a smaller back than what NFL teams like, but he's showing production, he's showing his force, he's got that strength, he's got around 200 pounds, so I really like him, and he's a guy to me who's kind of moving up that draft board with his production that he has, and did miss most of last season, so he doesn't have a lot of, you know, banging on his body, he's still being a fourth-year senior there at Oklahoma State.
Yes, Kendall Hunter, a lot of people think that he would have been rated higher heading into the season if it were not for those injuries that you talk about, Justin. That's Justin Van Fulpen, NFL Draft Guru from the NFL Draft Bible. And we're going to do a little rapid-fire roundtable with our fellow NFL Draft Guru, Kelron Sykes, who we're going to welcome into the show here. And, you know, you can catch all of these guys' work at the NFL Draft Bible in the College Football Insiders newsletter. Like I said, go to NFLDraftBible.com, log in, sign up for the All Access Football membership. You get 18 weekly issues of the College Football Insiders newsletter. Today we just distributed issue number 3 a few hours ago. You get our 2011 NFL Draft Prospectus and, of course, the 10th annual NFL Draft Bible. Rick Saratella, Daniel Moglione, joined by Justin Van Fulpen, and as I said, we have now Super Scout Kelron Sykes on the line, and we're going to talk about some risers and sliders in a second, Kelron, but we're going to get ready for our rapid-fire roundtable. Are you ready? And it would help if we get on our P's and Q's on the technical board. Kelron, are you ready?
Roll.
Okay, let's do it, baby. First up, Terrell Pryor, making a lot of noise here. Big performance against Miami Hurricanes last week, 233 yards in the air, another buck 13 on the ground, looking like the Heisman candidate we all thought he was, playing to his potential finally for the first time. Let's start it off with you, Kelron. He's now talking himself into being a top NFL draft quarterback.
That's still to be determined. There's still some mechanical issues there just with his mechanics and, you know, him going through his progressions and also reading defenses. If you kind of notice, it's kind of a one read, two read, then take off. So if he can slowly but surely, you know, progress into becoming that elite quarterback in terms of his progressions and also some of his downfield throws and intermediate throws, I definitely think, you know, he can be a first-round quarterback. He's definitely the front runner right now for the Heisman Trophy this year, but I'm still not sold on him as a quarterback yet. You know, a lot of it is going to be determined how Dennis Dixon plays this year, you know, before Roethlisberger gets back, because the comparison is there just in terms of the athletic ability and the style of play that they kind of, you know, mirror each other with that. So as long as he improves with his mechanics, I think his status can definitely improve.
Yeah, and some people are still questioning whether or not he is going to translate as a quarterback at the next level. Some people questioning whether he might need to make a position switch. Justin, which side of the fence are you on?
I don't think he's ready now. And my hope is that Terrell Pryor comes back next year for his senior season. Because like as far as, you know, Kellerman said, that definitely he's got mechanical issues. He doesn't really, as far as his motion isn't as fluid. And I know we saw Phillip Rivers and his unorthodox style kind of work there. But really what I'd like to see is Terrell Pryor do it more consistently, kind of, and let's see what this season does, come back for his senior season and keep going and keep progressing, because we've seen that ability, but he's not what everybody kind of said coming out when he was a freshman, he was going to be LeBron James of college football. He hasn't shown that yet. He's big, 6'6", 230, runs in the 4.4s, big physical athletic kid, but to me he's not ready to make that jump yet.
Okay. So, Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you. What kind of prospects do you see for Terrell Pryor? How high can he go? He does have another year left. Do you think he'll come back? Do you think he'll test the waters? What's your take?
I think he should definitely come back. I'm in agreement with these guys. If he's a stock right now, I'm still selling the Terrell Pryor stock. I think there's a difference between being a high riser and a Heisman favorite and being a top-notch NFL quarterback, and I think still – he has a ways to go. A lot of physical ability, maybe first-round potential, maybe. But if we're talking today, I'm still looking at him as a mid-round grade in terms of his quarterback skills.
All right, let's move it over now to the running back position, and we're going to talk about Mark Ingram and Ryan Williams. Dan, you and I talked about Mark Ingram's counterpart, Trent Richardson. You know, I got a little bit confused with this segment here, and Ryan Williams, you know, who's been struggling out of the gate. Not so impressive performances to start off the season. The entire team not doing so well. But, you know, a lot of people did feel Ryan Williams had an edge over Mark Ingram, you know, going into the season in terms of being that top running back prospect. You know, I know here at the NFL Draft Bible internally, there's a split difference of opinion just as who is the top draft-eligible running back for the 2011 draft. I'm going to start it off with Justin Van Fulpen. Who do you like, Justin, Mark Ingram or Ryan Williams?
I think Ryan Williams right now is probably the better for his athletes and will test better and will look better when it's all said and done. You know, to me, I think he's going to get drafted higher. For my money, if I was picking, I would take Mark Ingram because I really like for his instincts and his balance and different things like that. I would go with Mark Ingram over Ryan Williams, but for Ryan Williams is a great athlete and will be drafted very high.
All right, we're talking about best draft eligible running back, Dan. And who do you like, Ryan Williams or Mark Ingram, for your money?
Well, it's close, but I'm sticking with Ryan Williams. I think it's too soon to say stock down on him. I think these two games are more of a product of poor play from that offensive line and not enough respect for Tyrod Taylor's passing ability. So teams are stacking the line. This college is becoming almost like the NFL, where no matter how good the running back is, if teams want to stop the run, they can stop the run, and I think that's what's happening so far. I think he's still a top-notch prospect, and I think it's too soon to go stock down with him. So I'm sticking with Ryan Williams for now.
All right, there you have it. We've got a split. Let's go over to Kelron Sykes for the tiebreaker. Kelron, Ryan Williams off to a slow start. Are you down on him, or does he still stand a chance to be the number one running back in this year's draft class?
No, I'm definitely not down on him, man. Like, I think I agree with Justin. I think he's going to test better just in terms of his numbers and his physical ability better than Ingram. But I still would take Mark just in terms of his overall ability as a running back in terms of fitting in his own offense. And, you know, his downhill running capability, you know, obviously I would give the, you know, once again, the physical attributes, you know, to Ryan. But nevertheless, if I wanted to come out the gates and start a running back, it would definitely be Mark Ingram.
All right. And, you know, we're talking about skill positions, NFL draft roundtable discussion here. And, you know, some of these underclassmen, you got A.J. Green, Julio Jones, a strong, very strong junior wide receiver class. But it looks like, you know, Ryan Broyles kind of flew under the radar coming into the year. And, you know, here's a junior wide receiver that not too many folks were talking about coming into the season in terms of being a potential first-round candidate. But here we are now, two games later, Oklahoma thumping Florida State last week, 47-17. Broyles goes for 12, a buck 24 and a touchdown. You know, three touchdowns in his first two games, 266 yards. Dan, you know, what is his draft stock, and does he have a chance to compete with the A.J. Green and the Julio Jones of the world?
Well, I like him as a prospect, but it's going to be tough for him to compete with those guys, with the A.J. Greens, the Julio Jones. I don't see Broyles being a top 20 player. I see him more being a very solid second-round type pick. He just doesn't have the physical attributes that those guys have. He doesn't have what the NFL would look for in terms of measurables from a number one wide receiver. He's probably more of a slot guy who can be a return guy. I know he went over 2,000 receiving yards last week, put him fourth on Oklahoma's all-time list. He was pretty good there. You know, I'm impressed with the kid. I like what he can do. He knows he's got a knack for getting open. He puts on great double moves. But in terms of his physical ability and his upside, he's not going to rival those top players. And you can throw Michael Floyd in there, maybe even Baldwin a pit in terms of guys who are going to be ahead of him.
All right, let's toss it over to Kelron Sykes. Kelron, you know, Ryan Broyles here, how does he stack up against this deep junior wideout class?
Yeah, I kind of echo what Justin just said. I think Broyles is going to be more of a later-round guy just for the simple fact he just doesn't have the measurables. You know, the A.J. Green and the Julio Jones, you know, the Malcolm Floyds of the world. He'd definitely be, you know, like I said, a mid to late round guy. But in terms of being that number one receiver for our offense, he just doesn't have the speed and the capability to stretch the field, sort of like the guys that I just mentioned. But he's definitely a solid pick and definitely a guy that's going to make some noise, you know, on the next level. But just in terms of just the physical measurements of you know, his colleagues, he just doesn't measure up to them yet. But nevertheless, he is a solid player, and he's going to continue to have a tremendous season for Oklahoma this season.
All right, let's go over to our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Fulpen. We heard the names, Justin, Green, Jones, Floyd, Baldwin. Does Ryan Broyles have any chance of cracking the cream of the crop in this junior wide receiver class?
Unfortunately, he doesn't. And he, you know, as far as he's going to be a good player, like as far as Dan and Kelroy said, that definitely a guy who's going to be able to make some plays at the next level. But he fits in the mold of a, as far as a Golden Tate, where as far as a second round type of a guy, a number two guy. And we saw when an Oklahoma receiver got pushed into that first round not so long ago, and Mark Clayton, he didn't really perform that well in Baltimore, was traded to as far as the Rams. And so to me, as far as the NFL, you know, teams remember that. Okay, he's similar to Mark Clayton, went in the first round, maybe was a little bit too high, more fits into the Golden Tate type mold as far as a number two slot guy. We'll pick him in the top 50, but not in the top 32.
That's NFL Draft Bible guru Justin Van Fulpen. You can catch his blog on NFLDraftBible.com. And, again, his work is also featured in the College Football Insider's newsletter. Log on to NFLDraftBible.com. Become an all-access football member today. Justin, thanks for your time. We'll do it again next week.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, Justin Van Fulpen. Keep it locked, NFLDraftBible.com, for his stuff, as well as our NFL Draft Super Scout. That would be none other than Kelron Sykes, who we've been talking to on our NFL Draft Roundtable. Kelron, you know, since we're talking wide receivers, let's talk about one more. Boise State wide receiver Austin Pettis, you know, here's a guy also making some noise early on, and, you know, he compares favorable, as does his teammate, at the next level. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think Austin, his stock is definitely rising. You know, he's a bigger body receiver, you know, sort of in the mold of a Michael Irvin type of figure. He's definitely able to stretch the field on vertical routes and is tough enough, you know, coming across the middle, you know, in cover two or cover three. And he's done a lot for his team over the last 2 years. And I'm excited to see what he does, and particularly at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he's not going to face top-tier defensive talent in the WAC conference. I mean, his ideal bet was 2 weeks ago versus Virginia Tech. And, you know, he's going to face Dockery, you know, a cornerback from Oregon State next week. But outside of those two games, there's really not much competition, you know, that they're going to see just in terms of NFL caliber talent. That's going to be his knock heading up to the Senior Bowl and to the East-West. But he's definitely a guy that's, you know, right now slated to be a mid-round draft pick, sort of like an Austin Kylie, where you can kind of line him up in the slot or put him out, you know, wide and create matchup problems. I think he definitely needs to go to a team where, you know, like an Indianapolis Colts or like a New England Patriots, a team where he can be featured and his assets can be brought out to light.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that Boise State bias, and, you know, that's the same thing Kyle Wilson had to deal with a year ago in last year's draft. And you know what? From what I've heard, a lot of people think that the Cleveland Browns, if they had to do it all over again, would rather have, you know, they would prefer to have Kyle Wilson than Joe Hayden at this point. And, you know, Duncan Robinson also, you know, the other cornerback coming off the board before Kyle Wilson. So Austin Pettis, another guy that has to face that Boise State stigma. And, you know, when does it ever end? We don't know. But, you know, Austin Pettis, a guy to keep an eye on, as is Marcell Dareus, Kelron, who returns from suspension this week.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him. You know, he was my number one defensive lineman coming into this year, you know, draft-wise. He's a phenomenal talent, a guy that can disrupt the run and definitely get up the field on, you know, on third and long and second and long and cause some havoc in the pass rushing game. Like I said, he's a phenomenal athlete. I don't foresee him sticking around, and I don't think there's a reason for him to stick around other than possibly graduating and earning his degree. But just in terms of putting money in his pocket, he's definitely a top 10, if not a top 15 pick, depending on how the draft kind of plays out, which in terms of which team is going where. He's definitely, like I said, is going to be a top 15 talent. He has a phenomenal, you know, first step, and he has a rare pass rush moves. And, you know, him and Drake Nevis from LSU are probably my one and two defensive linemen coming out the SEC as of right now. But Marcell, he's a phenomenal talent. He's going to have something to prove this weekend just in terms of, you know, him coming out and people really not seeing him since last year versus Texas.
Yeah, I look for him to come out firing this week, and I agree with you. Definitely, definitely a top caliber draft pick for this year's upcoming 2011 draft. We're going to count you down each and every week, Draft Digest Weekly, leading up to the draft with NFL Draft Bible Super Scout Kelron Sykes. And, you know, Kelron, why don't we spend a couple minutes here quickly and talk about some of the players, you know, each week, some draft risers, some draft sliders, whose stock is up this week for you?
Well, one kid that I'm very interested in seeing, and particularly this week because he's going to face some stiffer competition, is Greg Childs, a receiver out of Arkansas. You know, he had over 100 catches last week versus Louisiana Monroe, but now they're starting conference play, and he's going to start facing more NFL type of caliber players. And he's a guy that you know shows all facets, where he's tough against the run. He's able to stretch the field in the vertical game, you know, for Ryan Mallett, and he's able to come across the middle, you know, and be tough and display some, you know, great catching ability. So he's a guy that definitely I'm interested in seeing. And I know a lot of scouts are interested in seeing. You know, he's part of that deep junior class. And just in terms of where he sits, I mean, it's all going to be predicated on what he does in the following weeks to come, you know, versus the Floridas, versus the Alabamas and Auburns.
All right, and on the flip side, how about somebody that maybe draft stock is sliding?
Yeah, Mike Pouncey, I've been kind of disappointed with his play over the last 2 weeks. Like, he's been struggling with the exchange with the quarterback. Definitely, I think he needs to calm down and get back to what he did last year, just in terms of being that tenacious, you know, offensive lineman, where he was nasty in the run blocking game, and you know he was very reliable in the passing game. And I'd like to see him get more reliable, more consistent with the snaps, and get back to what he did last year and kind of calm down. His stock is kind of dropping, so to speak, you know, from that aspect. And also Christopher O'Dowd, the center from USC, he's kind of been inconsistent, too, with this play over the last couple of weeks. He's given up a couple of sacks and, you know, doesn't seem really healthy. I know he had some knee problems in the 09 season last year, but I would like to see him get back to his savviness that he showed, you know, a couple of years ago when he came out as one of the highly touted recruits, you know, in that class of of Coach Carroll had a couple years ago.
Yeah, you speak about Mike Pouncey definitely has some work to make up and do from now until April to keep up with his brother Marquise, who went in the first round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then, you know, we got a big, big matchup with a lot of NFL draft prospects featured in this game. Nebraska visiting Washington, Kelron. Who are some of the prospects that you're going to have an eye on in this matchup?
I mean, we all know about the Lockers and the Jared Cricks of the world, but Mervin Mason Foster, you know, he's back from an injury, you know, from 09, and he's been playing well for the first couple of games. I'm interested to see what he does, you know, versus the top-tier talent, you know, leading up to Pac-10 play. Prince Amukamara, the DB from Nebraska, Arizona native, he's probably rated number two, number three on the board in terms of his rating behind, you know, Peterson there at LSU. But he's definitely a lockdown guy, and I'm interested to see what he does, you know, versus Washington this week. He's definitely a guy that's going to go in the first round. Mason Foster, back to him, he was a downhill thumper. He was rangy. He was able to make plays in space. You can put him on the squad, the kind of shadow receiver, so to speak, and, you know, that injury kind of hurt him, so to speak. But, you know, kind of getting an analyst of him for the last couple of weeks, he looks better now. He looks to be healthy now, and I'm interested to see what he does versus that huge offensive line of Nebraska.
All right, there you have it, Kelron Sykes, NFL's Draft Bible Super Scout. Before we let you go, Kelron, you know, give us maybe one of your guys flying under the radar or somebody who stood out for this week and a name that we should know.
Let's continue with the Nebraska trend. Marcel Jones, offensive tackle, a tall, athletic kid, and once again another Arizona product. He's playing pretty well, actually, and his stock is kind of rising. He's opened up some eyebrows, so to speak, just in terms of his play. We'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, you know, versus a run in the run game, but definitely he's very athletic. He's able to pass by well. You know, he's strong at the point of attack, and he's a long-range offensive lineman, and his stock is definitely improving.
Okay, there it is, Kelron Sykes, NFL Draft Bible Super Scout, bringing you the players you need to know first. Kelron, appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, thanks.
All right, Kelron Sykes, NFL Draft Bible Super Scout there. Daniel Moglione on the other line there. Rick Saratella here. NFL Draft Bible Draft Digest Weekly. Log on to NFLDraftBible.com. Don't forget the third edition of College Football Insider's newsletter was released today. Let me tell you something, folks. We have on-location reports from the biggest matchups across the nation. It's not too late. Get on board. NFLDraftBible.com, all-access football membership. You can get your issue now. We're going to do 15 more issues leading up to January, which is draft season. You will also get our 2011 NFL Draft Prospectus and, of course, our 10th annual NFL Draft Bible. And we're going to bring back Daniel Moglione into the mix to talk about some more NFL Draft hot topics, Dan. And, you know, the couple of games on the docket tonight. Why don't we talk about the game on the docket tonight, Thursday Night Football, Cincinnati visiting NC State. Who are some players there that we should keep an eye on?
Well, I think the top two prospects arguably are on NC State playing for the Wolfpack there coming out of the ACC. I think a player that really I want to see what he could do in this game is George Bryan, their junior tight end, 6'5", 265 pounds, arguably their top receiver on this team. And, you know, tight end, as Justin alluded to earlier, is not necessarily the deepest position. And I think after those top couple of guys, there's a lot of opportunities for a two-way player such as Bryan, somebody who can catch the ball and block. So I think he's somebody definitely to keep an eye on the offensive side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, Nate Irving, senior linebacker, had a devastating injury last year in a car accident, is making his way back from, you know, hearing Coach O'Brien speak about him. He's not quite all the way there. It's still a process for him. But just to maintain and watch that development, he's a kid, depending on how he fares this season, you know, could end up being a second, third-round guy or could end up being an undrafted free agent-type player. He's got to really come back from the injury and prove he's healthy again. But he's something to keep an eye on, I think, for NC State. Excuse me.
Okay, and I think, you know, we got some other games on the docket here that we'll actually be on location for. Why don't we spend a second on that? Because, as we mentioned, the NFL Draft Bible, also College Football Insider's newsletter, will be on location with some of these games, and we'll have reports from up close and personal for you. What are some of the games? Where will we be this week for the college football weekend?
Well, one of the games will be what we just talked about with Kelron was that Nebraska-Washington game, and I think in terms of a scouting perspective, you know, how does Jake Locker fare against his defense? You look ahead to the schedule, he's not going to face this type of defense the rest of the year, so if he wants to be the number one overall pick or at least a top 10 pick, considered a franchise quarterback, he's going to have to play well in this type of matchup. You know, is he just an impressive raw athlete, or is he starting to turn into a polished quarterback that can step in and play at the next level? We're seeing these rookies play right away, whether it be Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan, Mark Sanchez last year, Sam Bradford already. These teams are drafting quarterbacks, and they want them to play immediately. I'm not sure if Flacco's there. This will be a good test. As you mentioned, the Prince at corner is one of the top guys there. They have a lot of pressure up front, even without Sue. So I think that's an interesting matchup. We're going to be on location there at Washington. Also watching the sleeper guys like Foster, who we wrote about in this week's newsletter, the linebacker out of Washington. Another game we're going to be covering is the ABC game, primetime, Michigan State against Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. And I think, you know, what you want to see there is the Notre Dame passing game. According to all reports, Dane Crist is 100% healthy. He'll be there, their quarterback. So I think the Crist, the Floyd, to Rudolph, those, that trio there is a very intriguing trio to watch on the Notre Dame offense. Malcolm Floyd could be a guy. You asked me if Broyles challenge Julio Jones and A.J. Green. I think Floyd is a guy who potentially could challenge those top guys because he does have the length and the speed to be a number one guy at the next level. And, you know, hands down, I think right now Kyle Rudolph out of Notre Dame is a top tight end prospect, and it's not just because he caught, you know, 90-yard pass play last week against Michigan. I think that was a little more about shoddy secondary play. But overall, not many tight ends can stretch the field like Rudolph, and he's developing and coming on as a blocker. He's done a pretty good job the last 2 weeks as well. So as long as he keeps going in that direction, he will be a surefire top tight end, potentially a first-round pick as a junior at that position. And then finally, we're going to have our man Kenny Franek, our BCS buster, is going to go to some of the BCS schools this week as he's going to check out USC, go to Minnesota and play the Golden Gophers. And from a draft perspective, you definitely got to focus on the USC guys. Most of these guys are young right now, but you do have a couple of older players like a Ronald Johnson, the wide receiver, who's you know, trying to show what he can do in terms of his playmaking ability and returning the ball as well. You got Marcus Tyler, Wendell Tyler's kid at running back. He had a great first game. He's somebody that was highly touted. We basically saw nothing from him the first 2 years. Now he's shown some glimpses. Could he really be that guy? And I know, Rick, I know you like the quarterback there, Matt Barkley, true sophomore. So he's at least, you know, the earliest he will be is the 2012 draft. But it's never too early to start scouting these guys. How does he perform on the road? Is he making developments in terms of making the proper decisions, getting rid of the ball, not holding it too long? The arm is definitely there.
Yeah, never too early to start scouting the quarterbacks especially. And, you know, one kid, I got to say, you talked about Dane Crist returns to the starting lineup for Notre Dame this week. You know, when he did step out for a few plays, Montana's kid, you know, boy, talk about a kid. You know, he couldn't put himself in a worse position. Here's Joe Montana's son, I think his name is Nick. He comes to Notre Dame, follows in his father's footsteps, which, you know, I hate to break it to your son, but you're not going to wear those shoes. You know, those are big shoes to fill. Not only that, he's got his same number, and he comes in, he makes some terrible, terrible throws, but, you know, he does have a long future ahead of him. So Nick Montana, somebody that we're looking at maybe for the 2015 draft. But just a side note there, not to sidetrack too much, Dan, there's another big matchup this week, and I know we interviewed the SEC Defensive Player of the Week. That would be Auburn's defensive tackle, Nick Fairley, and Auburn taking on Clemson this week. And I know he was happy when we interviewed him to see C.J. Spiller leave.
Well, yeah, I had to ask him that. I mean, you're going up against his Clemson team. It's got to be great not to have to deal with C.J. and him running around. But not to say that Clemson doesn't have some weapons, because they do, and he brought up Kyle Parker right away, their quarterback, just a sophomore. Now, he's somebody that, you know, could be potentially an NFL prospect, but from everything you hear, and even though he came back to Clemson this year, most likely we're going to see him playing on a baseball diamond and the pro level is not a gridiron. But Clemson does have a couple of guys there on offense. Chris Hairston, senior left tackle, 6'6 kid, 6'7, over 320 pounds. How he handles the pass rush from Auburn will be interesting. And interior lineman Dalton Freeman, just a sophomore center, but I think how he handles Fairley, who was very impressive last week, I think will be a great matchup. And you brought up that quarterback there, Cameron Newton. Clemson's going to counter him up front and in the back line of defense. At defensive end, they got Daquan Bowers, one of the more talented juniors in the country, as well as a fellow junior, Andre Branch, coming off the edges. These guys have combined for 5 sacks, and they're really coming on strong with Ricky Sapp onto the NFL. And then at the safety level, you have a senior there in DeAndre McDaniel, who many consider the top senior safety in the country, as well as the coming sophomore, Rashard Hall, who had about 5 or 6 picks off the bench as a freshman. So I think, you know, with those two big guys, they're going to be able to keep Newton in the pocket, and you have some playmaking safety there countering from Clemson. I think it's going to be a fun matchup to watch how that little ACC-SEC clash.
Yeah, and, you know, one more matchup, we touched base on it briefly earlier in the show. That's Texas visiting Texas Tech, our College Football Insiders game of the week. You know, I know we did the cornerback rankings, Dan. One of the toughest things we had to do was kind of rank where these Texas cornerbacks are in comparison to each other, and they're so close. Is it safe to say that this is the best secondary in the nation?
Yeah, I think so. I think top to bottom, it's the best secondary in the nation. You have a legit number one type corner. In my opinion, the best guy is Aaron Williams, that junior. Then you got the Brown brothers. They're not really brothers, but Curtis Brown and Chucky Brown, two seniors that are two, you know, they're number two, number three corner. And then at safety, very impressive, Blake Gideon at free safety. He was a two-year starter already, so this is his third year. He's actually the kid, if you remember, that dropped the interception before Crabtree scored 2 years ago when Tech pulled off the upset. But with those four or five guys there, even with Earl Thomas leaving early onto the NFL, this secondary is stacked. I mean, you know, a kid like Chucky Brown, the senior, he will be the number one corner on most teams, and it'll be fun to watch him. You know, Texas Tech doesn't necessarily, they're not necessarily stocked with NFL-type receivers, but you know they like to spread them out, throw four or five guys out there and throw the football, even with Leach gone. So it'll be a good test for these guys, and I think they're going to respond well.
All right, we got a couple more minutes, Dan. Daniel Moglione, Rick Saratella breaking it down, Draft Digest weekly style for you. Dan, close out the show, talk about a couple things that you're going to be looking for here in this week three of college football season.
Well, you know, it's a big week. We've talked a lot about these big games, but there's a lot of intriguing quarterback matchups. And, you know, we've hit the big ones in terms of the mallets and the lockers, but I think, you know, a kid out of Arizona, junior quarterback Nick Folda, has a pretty good arm for the Wildcats. Just like this is Locker's big test, this is Folda's biggest test. Pac-10 doesn't have a ton of great defenses, but Folda will be taking on Iowa, who has, I think, the best front four in the nation, led by Claiborne, and also maybe not Texas-level secondary, but a pretty darn secondary. So I can't wait to see what Foles does against that defense. And a little under-the-radar game, Robert Griffin of Baylor, I know he's somebody you kind of like, Rick, an intriguing talent. You know, maybe he doesn't get as much love as Terrell Pryor does, but his stock might actually be higher in a year, you know, by the time the year's over. He's going up against TCU, and we know they might not be a Big 12 school, but they have a lot of big-time defenders. And let's see how Griffin does in his first test. And Christian Ponder, he's somebody, you know, if I had to do the stock down, he's a guy I would have brought up. I was not happy with how he looked against Oklahoma. Didn't handle the pressure well. He's not facing a big test this week on the field in terms of BYU. But I just want to, I want to see him bounce back at least. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that bad performance linger and turn into two bad performances, especially against a defense that he should perform well against.
All right. We're going to close out the show. Before we do, we're going to try to get a quick phone call in. 253, you're on the line. What's on your mind? 253, you're on the line. What's on your mind? Talk to us, baby. Okay, we got a crank call to close out the show. What better way than to end it like that? Draft Digest Weekly getting cranked on. And, you know, we're going to be breaking it down right here on Blog Talk Radio, All Access Football Channel. For Daniel Moglione, Rick Saratella, keep it posted, NFLDraftBible.com. Log on, get your College Football Insiders newsletter, become an All Access Football subscriber, get it all. 18 issues of College Football Insiders newsletter, our 2011 NFL Draft Prospectus, which you will receive right now, and then, of course, our 10th annual NFL Draft Bible publication. For Rick Saratella, Daniel Moglione, thanks for Justin Van Fulpen and Kelron Sykes joining us. Log it off. See you next week.